Good morning. I wasn't standing here so you could look at me. There's just a whole lot of people still coming in. I was just like, this is awesome. Welcome to this place of worship this morning. And I want to start by thanking the junior high for being some of our leadership this morning during worship. And I know they were here yesterday. They cleaned the sanctuary and did some practicing. So thank you for that. I'm going to ask Pam to come up. She has a couple announcements.
Good morning. I just wanted to highlight, it's in your bulletin, it's a sheet that says compelling vision. I want to encourage you as members of the Church of the Brethren to consider going and attending one of these compelling visions meetings. The district and the denomination this past year at annual conference decided that next year's annual conference is going to all focus on the compelling vision of the Church of the Brethren, how we work together to join together and support one another as congregations, because we come with so many different ideas and we come from so many different places. So I would challenge you as members of Little Swatara to consider going to one of these sessions. They're on Saturday and Sunday. The ones on Saturday, there's one in the morning from 9 to 11 at Palmyra, one in Ephrata from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and then on Sunday, the 11th, from 3 to 5 in the afternoon at Indian Creek. In regards to these meetings, everyone is welcome. No one's going to be turned down. You don't even have to pre-register, but there is a phone number here if you have the time to give them a call to say, hey, yeah, I'm going to be there, so they just have an idea for count-wise. But please prayerfully consider attending. I'm planning to go on Saturday afternoon to Ephrata. If you are available and want to go and would like to ride along, I'll be glad to take somebody along with me. So just give me a call. The other thing I want to highlight is that next Monday, the 12th of November, not this coming Monday, but the following week, is our every member council meeting where we'll be talking about next year's budget. So please plan to attend and share as we conduct the business of the church. Thanks.
I just want to highlight one other item in the bulletin, and that's the Men's Fellowship will be working Saturday back at camp to put the miniature golf course to bed for the winter and other things. And I'm going to open this to everybody, not just the Men's Fellowship. If there's women and some younger folks that would like to help, we can use all the hands that would be willing to help us on Saturday morning. We're going to be starting around 8 o'clock. Just meet at the family camp area. Any other announcements? I see Bob has one.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. Hey, thank you for joining us today for National Junior High Sunday. Our junior high is a fun and unique age. Our group consists of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. They age from 11 to 14. If you ask a junior high student in our group who we are, here are some answers you might receive. We are athletes, musicians, farmers, socialities. We are inverts, extroverts. We are tall, we are short. We are mature and immature. We are loud and busy, but we can be shy and quiet. We like to throw balls and kick balls. We jump, skip, run, and walk. We like to play games and move constantly. We like to talk all the time, and we love to serve others behind the scenes. We are not perfect. We need a lot of direction. We love the understanding. We sometimes run in the wrong place, throw a ball when we shouldn't. We laugh during church, and when we should be quiet, we are junior high students. We love to serve, we love our church, we love the Lord, we love learning about God and how to love others through God's love. We are an active part of this family, church family. 1 Corinthians 12:12 states, just as the body through one has many parts, but all its many parts to form one body. So it is with Christ. Our junior high youth are a big part of our church family. Embrace our differences and love who we are in this season of our life. We ask for your prayers and love and understanding as we navigate through life. Thank you.
All right, DJ Pastor Matt is back in the house. Do I got any beatboxers in the house today? All right, here we go. Here's a little shout out to junior high. We be thinking you're all pretty fly. So keep living for Jesus, keeping it real. We can guarantee you he's the true deal. He lived and died and rose above. For each of you, he has so much love. So don't be thinking life's nothing but cruel. Jesus got you, he's your divine fuel to drive you with passion, to be your daily ration. So it's cool, he be rolling as the king. And here's the thing, life is but a vapor, a flash in the pan. Keep trusting in Jesus, we know that you can. Word!
Any other announcements? Matt, I have to say, I did mention one day at work that our pastor raps from the pulpit, and it got some eyes, went, whoa, really? Appreciate that, thank you. I do see, is that Pastor Jeff I see out there? I don't think Pastor Jeff ever rapped from the pulpit. Maybe we can have a guest rapper this morning, what do you think? Well, let's move into a time of worship. I'm going to ask you to stand as we do the call to worship and remain standing through our opening hymn. Lord, you give us new life every day.
All our newness, we thank you and praise you.
We place our faith and our trust in you.
And we know
in all things, even in the darkest of times, you'll see us through.
I'd like to invite all the children up. today's story comes from the book of Mark, which is in the New Testament. It was a very scary night when the boat pulled onto shore. Jesus and his disciples got off the boat and realized they were in a cemetery. Would you be scared? Would you be afraid if you were in the dark cemetery at night?
I'm mostly scared in the dark, but no, because I know zombies are. Well, I don't know if zombies are real, but I know that spirits are real. But if it was New Jersey at night, yikes, I would stay out.
Things got even scarier when a man started running out of the cemetery. He was yelling and screaming. He didn't have on any clothes, and there were scratches all over him. The man had broken bits of chain hanging from his wrists and ankles. What would you do if you saw someone acting very odd like that?
If I saw something like that, I would be really spooked, but I would say, okay, this is a little creepy, but you still have not seen anything, you can handle it.
The disciples were scared, but the man did not come to them. He ran straight up to Jesus and started talking. The disciples wanted to run away, but Jesus did not run away. Jesus knew that Satan had sent evil spirits to live inside of him. Jesus saw the man was hurt. The man had no friends. He hid in the cemetery. He did not act normal or even tried to hurt himself. But Jesus wanted to be the man's friend and help him. Jesus could see things that no one else could see. He could see inside the man's heart. He knew that Satan had sent evil spirits to live inside the man's heart. But Jesus is stronger than Satan. He knew Satan's mean tricks. No one could see the evil spirits inside the man, no one that is except Jesus. Jesus commanded that the evil spirits in this man leave immediately. The evil spirits left the man and went inside some pigs who were nearby. The owners of the pigs were so amazed that they ran into town to tell everyone what happened. The people rushed back to shore, expecting to see the man still chained up and hurting himself. But that's not what they found. The man did not look unusual at all now. He was wearing clean clothes and acting completely normal. He was sitting quietly and talking to Jesus. Jesus told the man to go tell his story, and he went back to his family and told them about God. Jesus is stronger than Satan. Would you guys bow your heads with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for being stronger than Satan. Help us to be more like you and be stronger than Satan. Amen. You guys can go back.
Every week it's a complete joy to be here in this congregation, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming out and being a part of this church family. We are overwhelmed by the presence of these junior high with us, and we just thank you for being a part of our services, this first service and this second service. So it's been an incredible journey here this morning already, and we just have a microphone coming around. Bryson will give it to you if you have a joy or concern that you'd like to share. But as always, keep this prayer concern list with you each and every day and lift those up in prayer. We do want to add Annette Akini to that. And today is Worldwide Church Sunday, so keep the persecuted church in prayer as well. So add Annette Akini and the persecuted church to your prayer concerns.
I just want to say thanks to everybody for the prayers for my brother, but he's got a long road to go yet. They actually moved him to York Hospital now from Gettysburg, and they now found out he has a broken hip, and his artificial knee is also broken, and he still has a blood infection in his stomach and in his blood, and he's got a really long road of recovery. And also on Beau, Nita's husband was in the motorcycle accident. He will be getting an MRI on Tuesday to figure out why his legs don't want to work right, to see what actually happened when he was hit in his motorcycle. And we are blessed that he is still here with us.
Amen. Amen.
We just want to ask that you guys keep everyone from the Warwick community in your prayers. The outpouring of love has been absolutely astounding, and it's such a joy that the community will rally it together around that. But both students' funerals were this weekend, so we want to keep all the students that are grieving in your prayers.
Thank you.
Good morning. JR had shoulder surgery on Wednesday this week. He is supposed to be going back to school tonight. Not sure exactly how that's gonna go. He really can't do much of anything for himself and has been struggling with some pain and some issues. So if you just keep him in your thoughts and prayers as he tries to transition back, and his poor roommate's gonna have to help him get dressed and everything every day. So it should be interesting.
I just want to say hello and how wonderful it is to be back with you all today. And Gary, I just wish I could come through with the kind of energy that Pastor Matt does on that rapping. I'm here. Cutting me off. I was talking too long. Okay. I'm here with Connie and Mimi today. It's a birthday week for us. And Mimi's birthday was yesterday. Connie's birthday is coming up on Tuesday. I won't say anything about how old either one of them is. However, I did turn 70 myself with my last birthday, whatever that tells you. Again, it's great to be back with you. We wish you wonderful things for the future. Have many, many wonderful memories of all of you. We just want to tell you of our love and continuing love that will never go away for all of you. One other thing. When I get up for coffee and tea in the morning, I have a little cup that says Gathering Place on it. And I think of you every time I use it. I think Mike Pease gave it to us. Thank you.
Awesome. On the count of three, everyone, let's sing happy birthday to Mimi and Connie. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. So good to have you with us.
The Malsbury family has been keeping me updated on Ruthie Conover. She had been on oxygen, but she's developed pneumonia, so now she's in the ICU on high concentration oxygen. So really, really keep her in your prayers this week.
Thank you.
Yeah, I almost did a double take when I saw that man sticking his hand up for the mic over there. Glad to see him. But the reason I want to say something is because we're highlighting the junior high today, and I think that's important. I think our young people are have always been important to me. I used to teach Sunday school here, and I know that times can be troubling now, especially for young people. I had a little bit of trouble in my childhood, And we need to keep an eye out for one another. We did lose some people here through suicide, and that's a very sad thing, especially for a young person. This isn't always the best time in your life. It will get better, but you got to make it. So if you have a friend that's having troubles and they're not talking to anybody, please get them help. Go talk to an adult.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace each and every day of our lives. Father, we're all on a journey. We're all facing different situations in our lives, but Father, you know all about them. And we thank you that you are a God that is very near to us, a God that travels through this life with us. And there's nothing that happens to us that you're not aware of. And we just thank you that you are a loving, you are a supportive, you are a listening God, always available to us. We know, Father, many in our congregation have illnesses, very serious illnesses, those that have faced surgeries, those that are recovering, those that are trying to get back into no more normality of life. And we just especially want to lift them up by name this morning. So we lift up Ruth Conover. We lift up Ruth Hoover, Derek Kaufman, Carl Graby, Kylie Long, Miles, Emmanuel Ziegler, Elaine Keeney, Robert Snyder, the Warwick community, the persecuted church, Annetta Keeney, Bo, and JR. Father, I pray that your healing touch would be upon every single person's name I mentioned and others that come to our names and come to our minds as we think of other names. So, Father, we pray in the midst of all these things we're dealing with that you would be glorified. We pray that even though we don't always understand, that we would continue to live into your will, that we would continue to surrender, Father, to what you have in store for us. And we just thank you for this congregation. We thank you for Brother Jeff with us this morning and Connie and Mimi, Lord. What a blessing they have been. And we just pray, Lord, you would continue to be with them as they journey through this life. We thank you, Father, for the junior high. Lord, you know what they're going through in their lives. You know what they're searching for. You know the identity that they're forming, Lord. And we just pray that you would intersect with their lives, that they would meet you, Jesus, and they would want to live for you. They would surrender to you and just realize the importance of carrying out their faith, Lord. But Father, we know we all need forgiveness when we sin, when we fall short. So we just pause. We take a moment during this service, Lord, to just say we're sorry and confess our sins. But also, Father, during these few moments of silent prayer, we also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers during this few moments of silent prayer. Father, every single week we take this time to confess our sins because we know forgiveness. We know grace is available through the cross. We know eternity is awaiting us because of the empty tomb. And Father, we just praise you this morning no matter what's happening in our lives. Lord, you know the voids. You know what's missing. But Lord, we know that you are the only one that can fill those voids. So I pray where there's depression, Lord, that you would replace it with joy. We pray where those that are mourning, especially in the Warwick community, Lord, you would give them a peace. You would give them a solace. You would give them a comfort that's beyond all comfort, Lord. And we know that that only comes through you. We pray, Father, for strength in this very hour. Lord, you know what this week holds. You know what we'll be doing. And you know the people that we'll encounter. And Father, we desire, we long to shine our lights. We long to love others, to encourage others, to be listening ears. And Father, we know it's with your help through the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we can do these things. So Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we just ask that you would continue to let us know your presence. Continue to let us know that every step we take that you are taking with us. And we are so comforted by that thought this morning, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. We just praise you this morning and thank you for who you are, what you mean to our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that your will would be done in the life of the congregation and in the life of the denomination and in the life of each of us. And we just thank you, Lord, for being here with us today and every day of our lives. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Jesus.
For our offertory thought this morning, I want to share from the book we've been using in Sunday school. The young families are doing a finance class right now, and this is Navigating Your Finances God's Way. This past week, we studied about generosity, and I just want to share about attitudes and giving. God evaluates our actions on the basis of our attitudes. John 3:16 reveals his attitude toward giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Note the sequence. Because God loved, he gave. Because God is love, he is also a giver. He set the example of generosity motivated by love. So generosity without an attitude of love provides no benefit to the giver. Therefore, let us benefit from our giving by lovingly sharing in our morning offering. Let's pray. Father, we know that with a loving heart, we come before you and we give of these morning offerings. And we just want to pray that as we offer unto you this offering, that we do so with a loving heart. And we just ask your blessing upon it. In your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.
It was a storm they wouldn't soon forget. But Jesus said, "Quiet, be still." And he said, "Let us continue to go over to the other side." So Jesus, with his disciples, arrives on the other side. And he comes in contact with a madman. Jesus arrives, and the madman looks toward him from among the tombs and the graves. This madman, who's now standing, couldn't be changed, couldn't be tied down, but he had been so many times before. But he simply broke the chains and he snapped the ropes. Night and day, he roamed through the graves and the hills, screaming out and slashing himself with sharp stones. That man saw Jesus from afar. He ran towards him, and he bowed in worship before him, and then he bellowed in protest, "What business do you have, Jesus, Son of the High God, messing with me? I swear to God, don't give me a hard time." Jesus commanded the tormenting evil spirit, "Out! Get out of the man." And Jesus asked him, "Tell me your name." And the madman replied, "My name is Mob. I'm a rioting mob." And he desperately begged Jesus not to banish them from the country. Nearby was this large herd of pigs making all sorts of calamity. The demons, swaying their heads back and forth, said to him, "Send us to the pigs so we can live in them." Jesus gave the order. But it was even worse for the pigs than for the man. Crazed, they stampeded in their gentle way over a cliff into the sea and drowned. We know those that were tending the pigs were scared to death, and they bolted into the town and they told the story. Everyone came and wanted to see what happened. This madman, no longer bound by chain, wearing decent clothes, making sense, no longer a walking madhouse. They were terrified. They asked Jesus to leave the area. So Jesus leaves the area, and the man wanted to go with him. He begged desperately, "Let me go with you." But Jesus said, "No." So this man, now free, in his right mind, left, proclaiming how good God was, calling from a maniac to a missionary. The end. your word. We thank you that we have ears to hear this morning, and we pray that those ears would be open and you would help us to understand that which you would want us to understand. We give you all glory for this time to gather around the word to celebrate who you are and what you are doing in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. We could say that this wasn't your typical day at the beach. Instead of umbrellas, lounge chairs, and sand castles, we have plenty of tombs. A violent man, the supernatural, outraged citizens, and pigs. Now, friends, I'm a fairly flexible guy, especially when it comes to beaches. But there's this line I have to draw when it comes to pigs on a beach. Now, some of you may think it's cute, and that's fine. But for me, the only pig on a beach should be on a skewer over hot coals, ready to serve up as pork barbecue. And if you don't mind, please add a side of coleslaw. But for the Jews, pigs were unclean. They were not suitable for sacrifice. They were not suitable for consumption. And as the scripture unfolds, it is even forbidden for a Jew to even touch a grave, lest they become unclean for 7 days. Now, it's important to realize the demoniac of the Gerasenes did not just wake up one morning and say, "Hey, you, yeah, you in the back row, I'm demon-possessed." This was not something he was born with. This was not something he just came down with, like the flu. You see, somewhere, sometime along his journey, he made a decision that he wanted to be free. He wanted to be free of God's influence. He wanted to be free from life's restrictions and responsibilities. He wanted to be free to do what he wanted to do. Junior High, I speak to you. You are searching for identity. You are searching to belong. You are looking to feel accepted. And it doesn't help when church family looks down on you, but know that you are loved. Some of us have a funny way of showing it. So now, as a demoniac, he becomes, in this strange way, free. No shackle could bind him. No chain could hold him. He's no longer bound by society or culture that would tell him what to do or how to do it. As a matter of fact, this man has no responsibilities to society at all, to the point in due time, so society no longer want anything to do with him. Okay, sure, we could call him free, but friends, his freedom cost him more than he could ever imagine. Junior High, you may think you want to be free, but in pursuing that freedom, consider the cost. It may be fun for a moment, but nothing compares to warm clothes, to hot food, and a cozy bed. When we look at culture, Gallup polls are indicating that 90% of Americans still believe in some sort of God. Yet, a survey by the Barna Group found that only about half that number believe the devil to be a living entity. Research goes on among the educated elite. Talking publicly about one's belief in the existence of a devil and Satan's influence on culture could very well be social suicide. The same was no less true in 1947 when theologian C.S. Lewis addressed the subject in an interview with Time magazine. Time reported, and I quote, "Lewis, like T.S. Eliot and W.H. Auden, is one of a growing band of heretics among modern intellectuals, an intellectual who believes in God." The Times story went on, "It's not a mild and vague belief, for he," referring to Lewis, "accepts all the articles of the Christian faith, which means he also believes in sin and in the devil." When asked about his belief in the devil, Lewis addressed the question in a thought-provoking way. He stated, "Now, if by the devil you mean a power opposite to God and like God, self-existent from all eternity, the answer is certainly no. As C.S. Lewis explained, there is no uncreated being except God. God has no opposite. The proper question you should be asking is whether I believe in devils, and I do. That is to say, I believe in angels, and I believe that some of these, by the abuse of their will, have become enemies to God. And Satan, the leader or dictator of devils, is the opposite, not of God, for Lucifer, also known as Satan, was an angel, a created being. Friends, what we have here are two equal and opposite fallacies into which we as human beings can fall prey. They concern the devil and they concern demons. One error is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe in and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. But be assured, Satan is equally pleased if we follow one or both of these lies. Friends, it is important amidst this conversation to know that we are safe in the arms of God. Please hear what John declared in 1 John 5:13-21. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And it goes on, "The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them." If you're going to have ears to hear, as Jesus said, now is the time. Let me say it again. The one who was born of God keeps them safe. And the evil one cannot harm them. If you were ever going to say an amen, right there it was. But praise God. Praise God. What a glorious promise. It's naturally not all that unusual. The demonic in our reading was out of control, physically and mentally out of control. And he had a mixed response when he met Jesus. And the encounter with Jesus, we could say, was quite explosive. The disciples' boat, beaches near a graveyard, and nearby a herd of pigs are grazing. But as we mentioned earlier, both the graveyard and the pigs are ritually and culturally unclean for Jews. So as Jesus steps out, a crazed man storms out of the tombs. We could imagine wild hair, bloody wrists, scratched skin, violent, encased in flesh, naked, uproar, arms flailing, and his voice screaming. But let's not forget who was with Jesus. Can you even fathom the disciples right now? As they gawk, as they gulp, and as they put a foot back into the boat. Storms raging waters. You think they would be used to them by now. But it appears that the people from town have tried to help this guy in the past. They restrained him physically. But friends, his problem was much deeper. This battle was a spiritual battle. The man had an inner problem. Friends, all the laws, all the regulations in society can do is treat the outer man. This affects behavior only. It never touches the inner source of the problem. No law on its own could change this man. No code of moral standards could free this man. Now we know what Christian behavior looks like. There's not a single list of laws that can change our heart. And friends, we realize it is the heart that is the source that must be changed. In Mark's account of this story, he states that no one could bind him any more. Apparently, at one time, they could subdue him, but it seems he grew worse and worse over the years. So when Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side," he knew exactly where he was going. He knew exactly who was going to be there. It makes sense to me that Jesus must have heard the cry of this man. This morning, friend, Jesus too hears our cries. They never go unnoticed. Every emotion we go through, he knows, he sees, he hears, but most of all, friends, he relates. We see in our text that Jesus first commanded the demons to come out of the man. And throughout this encounter, we get a glimpse into this unseen world, what we could call spiritual warfare, a war that's going on all around us. But remember, the one born of God keeps us safe, and the evil one cannot harm us. So in just a few moments, the invisible spiritual conflict becomes visible, and we are offered a view overlooking the battlefield. But take note, we hear nothing from the disciples throughout this entire encounter. Yet you can still picture them standing and watching this entire event with eyes bulging and mouths wide open. The reading goes on in verse 13 of Mark 5. He gave them permission. And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. There's a word there we must understand. Permission. The demons needed permission from Jesus to go in to these pigs. But think about this, friends. These pigs, suddenly possessed, were compelled by the Spirit of God to run immediately down the hill and plunge into the sea. Now, what were those three words last week Jesus spoke to the storm? Quiet, be still. Friends, it is critical. In the midst of our lives, we realize that Jesus is Lord over all. And it is no doubt he has the authority to command these pigs to go. And that was it. Just like that, it was the end of the demonic possession. The Gerasene man has been delivered. Friends, he is finally, totally, completely free in Christ. Friends, we realize at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and we've seen it here in our passage today. Take hold of 1 John 4:4. Greater is he. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Would you pray with me? Father, you know what is happening all around us. You know the darkness that is consuming our culture, but Father, we know that you shine light into that darkness, and you call us as believers, as Christians, as followers of the way to shine that light. But Father, we confess there's times that darkness feels like it's creeping in on us. But at the powerful name of Jesus, we simply say, Satan, be gone, and he must flee, for we are kept safe in the arms of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this comforting knowledge this day. Thank you again, Father, for going through this journey called life with us. Without you, Father, we know that we would be lost. But with you, Father, we know that we have found the way. So guide us, lead us, and direct us is what we pray. In the powerful name of Jesus our Lord, amen and amen.